Welcome to the Thriving Farmer Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Kilpatrick. Our mission is to inspire, educate, and celebrate sustainable farming. We believe that you can build a profitable, sustainable farm that gives you true farm freedom. Join us as we talk to farmers, innovators, educators, and entrepreneurs to glean their top takeaways in business and life. Hey, Thriving Farmers, Michael Kilpatrick here. Today's guest is Dan Miller, who is the founder and CEO of Steward, the world's first crowd farming platform, which you've got TM'd, I see. Steward enables people to invest directly in sustainable farms. Through Steward, responsible investors can earn projected returns while transforming agriculture by equipping sustainable farmers with the capital they need to grow. Unlike traditional funding methods, Steward's crowd farming model creates a healthy yield for both farmers and investors. Farmers purchase land and equipment, and investors earn projected returns while making a positive impact. Steward combines Dan's background in investment crowdfunding, real estate, and technology with his passion for agriculture stemming from his maternal family, which has been farming on the eastern shore of Maryland since the 1880s. Welcome to the podcast, Dan.
Thanks for having me on.
So, tell us, how did the idea of Steward first come to be?
It came through two different channels. The idea specifically for Steward came during my last business. We're doing real estate development in Washington, D.C., developing some of the properties with young chefs. And through those chefs, I started to meet a network of sustainable farmers, and they were all selling products that everybody wanted to buy. But as I spoke with these farmers, none of them had access to capital. They all had trouble with funding to buy land, equipment, irrigation. And so I felt like let's build a platform where the individuals who are supporting these farms by buying at the farmer's market or supporting the idea of a alternative and resilient food system, give them the chance to invest directly in the farmers, get that much needed capital for the farmers to grow their businesses, but also rebuild links in a food system that has become much too separated from producer and consumer.
So what was your background before that? You said you're working with chefs and development. It's kind of like that whole building new things. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So there's a few different elements. So on my mother's side of the family, she's been farming since the late 1800s in the Chesapeake Bay. I didn't grow up on a farm. I grew up in Washington, D.C., but she grew up on the eastern shore of Maryland. We spent a lot of time out there, and we saw the kind of collapse of the small farm economy down there to you know, mainly industrial ag, corn, soy, broiler, chickens. And so there I saw that the value wasn't going to the region. And I always felt like there's got to be a better way to do it. You know, restoring the Chesapeake Bay is an important watershed and providing support to farmers in the area. That was the motivation. That was the heart of it. The first business I started out of school was real estate development. My father's family was in real estate. That's where that came from. My brother and I spun out from our family business to start doing our own projects. And we were in neighborhoods that were less well-known and developing historic building and leasing them to local chefs and really doing creative projects that were unique to that community. And instead of raising capital from traditional real estate investment firms, we wanted to raise money from local investors, from people who live nearby and would know the building and would want to be part of the project. So we built a platform called Fundrise that was the first real estate crowdfunding platform in the US. This was in 2012, we launched it. Originally to raise capital for our own properties, and soon realized there was such demand from other real estate firms around the country to raise capital online. So that spun out as an independent business, has since had over 100,000 investors on the platform, over $1 billion raised, all online, all retail investors, a few $1,000 average investment. So that's where I learned the regulatory, securities, legal framework of how to build these platforms to raise investment online. But the Steward idea had been sitting on me from that beginning era of working with real estate. And so a lot of those buildings, as I mentioned, we were leasing them to chefs who were sourcing directly from farmers. Then I started to meet the farmers. And then I kind of connected the dots of this framework of allowing and broadening the pool of investors. Let's apply this to this sector. And as I went down that path, I quickly realized that if you're not farming, you know, if you're conventional ag is where most funding is in agriculture. So if you're not doing large commodity production, you're left out. And so anybody doing diversified, smaller scale agriculture doesn't have the resources they need. And without those resources, they struggle to scale up production and earn enough to pay a wage. I mean, many of the farmers we support have multiple off-farm jobs and no insurance. I mean, they're making it work, but it's tough.
Absolutely. So talk to us about the platform. How does a farmer apply for a loan?
So they come to the website, they apply directly through the website. They create their account, they create a profile that describes their background and the farm, and then they submit for funding. There's two paths that they can go with for funding. They can either submit for committed capital, like a loan application where we underwrite, we assess the project. We can arrange funding either from our own balance sheet or from other funding sources through FSA and other programs. Or they can use our software tool to raise capital from their own network, where we're not taking a percent of the transaction. We're just providing our software for them to do that. And that's become very popular for farms to access working capital and to tap their own network, because the reality is these farms have customers that love them. They have people that are connected to their business. They just haven't had an efficient way to raise capital from them. And so the goal with Steward is to accelerate the growth of regenerative agriculture and provide tools and resources to the farmers. So we view them, you know, we're almost their one-stop shop for funding. They come to us, we help them think through their business. We have farmers on our team who help them think about where the right investment should be. Then we put a package together of what's out there, what's available funding, even looking at grants too. And then we move forward to help them. So it's very holistic. You know, as you know farmers well, they didn't get into it to think about financing, and they're not very interested in doing that work. So the more that we can take that away from them and they can focus on farming, the better for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, we keep telling our farmers, one of the big principles is know what you're good at and focus on that and outsource the rest. And so this is basically an outsourcing of getting capital for their business.
Yes, that's how it's designed. And we've broadened our services recently too, to help with e-commerce for direct-to-consumer sales, which since COVID have really exploded. Also accounting support. So the goal for Steward's to be that central platform to provide these services to the farms, so that they can focus on farming and run lean operations. You know, they don't have divisions doing this work. They just kind of, for bookkeeping, I've never actually seen a farmer have it perfect. So it's just the reality.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Any business I've run, it's never been perfect, because I'm just not good at that sort of stuff. So let's talk too about, let's say when you have these farmers come on, it sounds like you're kind of holding their hand through this. Do you also provide like educational resources, or are you constantly checking up on them and seeing how they're going along the journey? Or after they're funded, you kind of step back?
It's high touch in that regard. So we have a team, they're called the Farm Stewards, led by Aaron Newton, who runs that team. He's based in Concord, North Carolina. He's founded and run a farming incubator for over 10 years. So, you know, his career has been farming himself and supporting beginning farmers. So he's connected to the farmer during the application process. He speaks with them, helps them think about their business, connects them to local resources. So first off, we try to get, you know, whether it's technical assistance or them connected to somebody in their region who has experience with sustainable ag. We try to get that connection to help them long-term, you know, think through their business. And then funding is, we view it as an ongoing engagement. Like, it's not like you just get funding once and you're done. It's more of, okay, I needed funding for Hoop House. That worked out well. Now I need some for some logistics or value-added processing or labor. So it's an ongoing thing. We're always in touch with the business, doing site visits once or twice a year, phone call checkups. And oftentimes the farms just reach out to us for things, you know, hey, I need help with payroll. Is that something you can take on? In this farm services platform where we're providing the support infrastructure and the technology tools, that began from that request where we had made loans to these farmers and they started to ask us if we could help with these things. And we realized we can help more effectively than them doing it themselves. And even more importantly than that, every request they have is also needed by other farmers. So each system that's built then is spread across the network. They all think they have unique challenges, but at the end of the day, they're often facing the same challenges across farms.
Yeah. I mean, we like to say that farms struggle in five areas, and there's only five areas that they need help in, and everything that filters through that. And I mean, we feel that's, you know, themselves, making sure that they are selves ready to run a farm, because there's so many insecurities and so many mindset traps, I think, that farmers get into. Second is the business plan part of it. Third is the production systems and the production aspect. Fourth is the systems and the teams. And then fifth is marketing. So that's kind of the five areas that we like to group their challenges in, that we feel then allows us to like systematize, as you said, the same problems are faced by all these farmers.
Yeah. And I think those are the important elements, and kind of touching upon how Steward works with those elements. We're generally working with farmers that are at least a few years in, they've already established their business, established markets, and we're helping them accelerate their growth. Our view is generally in the first year or two of learning how to farm, you know, it's better not to take on outside debt, and you can just kind of work at someone else's farm or cobble it together. But we like to have conversations with any farm at any point. And then the business planning, production planning, that's where our farm steward team steps in and helps them think through, you know, you have a bottleneck here. What about this piece of equipment? Or you're spending a lot of time doing this farmer's market. Is that worth the payoff? And I find that, you know, most farmers aren't, they don't have the time to have that planning, but it is helpful to have an outside perspective on the best use of resources.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you reach your investors?
So investors come through two channels. They either come through direct marketing of the platform. That could be Google search is pretty common. You know, someone searching about investing in sustainable agriculture. They come through press often and, you know, through articles where they're focused on the subject and they see it. And then also through referrals. And that's for Steward. That's us bringing investors to the platform to invest into the projects generally available. And then the farmers themselves bring their network of investors as they use the software with their, you know, with their personal relationships. Yeah. So it's kind of on two prongs. The broader network grows as each farm brings on board their relationships. And then we at the top level are always talking about the broader mission and opening up investment. And for the early wave of investors, there's a lot of people out there very passionate about regenerative agriculture who just haven't found an efficient way to make investments without doing all the work themselves. And it's a lot of work to underwrite and do due diligence at a farm and service it. You know, it's every day is new. So we specialize in just that, only supporting sustainable farms, everything that relates to that, and allow the investors to make the investment, earn their income, stay in touch with the farm, learn about it, keep up to date with it, but not having to do the legwork that requires expertise.
Absolutely. So let's talk about a farmer who's looking to get funding for their operation. What kind of vetting should a farmer do when looking for a lender?
So I think you should always go as far and wide as possible for lenders. But for sustainable farmers, there are not many paths. So I would say they run into dead ends very quickly. The first option that most farmers look through is the FSA, you know, the USDA's Farm Service Agency. Because they're lending government capital, it's very low cost of capital, very good terms, but very rigid. So most of the time it's hard to fit within it. If you can, great. We've worked with farmers recently where they were able to tap FSA funding and we came in for additional funding because there was a gap. You know, there's always a gap. So that's always the first. Find what's out there for traditional low-cost funding, whether the FSA, maybe a local credit union, although not all of them want to take risks. So that's often the first step. Then second is what grant funding is out there. There's oftentimes, you know, the EQIP grant for the NRCS is a good program to get funding for hoop house infrastructure. There's other USDA programs. So there's normally things out there to help. And then where Steward particularly comes in is there's always a gap. Even if you can tap those two sources at best or none of them, there's additional funding needed. And effectively, Steward's a private lender. And that's where I see the gap in the market for agriculture, because it's so driven by government policy. Everything's written around what the government lending programs are. And so if you don't fit the government policy, which is generally large commodity production, there aren't other investment groups or investment opportunities out there. And so that's where we find the real gap to be. But the platform for Steward was built so that private investors could come in, whether they're in the same network as the farmer or separate, and invest in these farms, because people want to support this movement and we need to take it in our own hands. It's not sufficient to just be reliant on what's out there with the existing programs. As you know, clearly shown, they've brought us to a certain place with agriculture. If you're doing it differently, those programs aren't built for you.
So when you're vetting farmers, what kind of track record do you want to see? You know, do you want to see a couple of years of profit? Do you want to see them in business for 3 years and 1 year of profit? Or what do you like to look for?
So generally, at least 3 years of farm experience, at least one of those minimum owning or managing a farm, but ideally three, already established products and markets. So they're already producing, generally maybe starting at the farmer's market. They have products people like, and now they need to grow their capacity. So they need access to land, long-term tenure. They need irrigation, hoop houses, fencing, maybe some value-added processing, maybe some working capital. So it's really that, how do we take them from, you know, 10 to 100,000 revenue and triple that in the next year? You know, how do we really help them scale the enterprise? Mainly, are they committed farmers? Are they knowledgeable farmers? Are they passionate about their work? The rest of it we'll figure out. At the end of the day, there's so much demand for high quality product now that if farmers doing it the right way and they can market and brand themselves and find the right outlets, they can sell the product and more so ever than now. So, you know, we're flexible on the piece of land, we're flexible on the type of farming, we're flexible on the location. It's really the farmer themselves and their experience that's most important.
Mm-hmm. Do you require a business plan?
We business plan with them.
Okay.
I almost never find farmers prepared before, really. So they submit as part of the loan application, you know, their background, their experience, their markets, their labor, their staffing. And that process kind of develops the business plan with them, but they don't have to come up front. Same with financials. Mm-hmm. Rarely do they have financials already prepared. So they can just export whatever they have or add us to whatever accounting software they have. We'll dig in, we'll help them prepare it. So that application phase is not that it has to be perfect coming in. It's let's help you get it in a state that everyone's comfortable with as we go through the process.
Mm-hmm. What do you allow the money to be spent on?
So we're flexible in the use of funds. I find that's one of the big differentiators for Steward. Mm-hmm. Most lenders in agriculture just focus on land, maybe some equipment, and then they assume somehow the operation's going to get financed. You know, they don't know how. So most of the loans we're making are mortgage loans secured by land, but the use doesn't have to just be for land. So land, equipment, labor, working capital, all of that combined, it's like, what does it take for the business to run overall? And those are the categories that are funded together, as opposed to I get my land financing here and my equipment financing here and maybe some working capital here. We group it all together.
And then how long is the term of the loan normally?
Our traditional loan, that's a kind of mortgage loan for a farmer who's maybe leasing land to buy land and get their business humming, is a 5-year loan.
Okay.
It's structured somewhat like a construction loan. So we normally accrue interest for the first year and then phase in current interest payments over time to give the business a chance to reinvest and really focus on driving revenue those first few years. And then a few years down the road, we'll refinance them into longer term funding.
Okay.
We're doing that now with the first sets of farmers that we funded 2.5 years ago. And that's, you know, we will help them find the best sorts, but often a credit union or somebody, you know, that's local and can do a 30-year mortgage. So we try to get the farmer into the position where they have the years of cash flow and operating statements and all the kind of paperwork that traditional lenders provide, because it's the risk money that is really the challenge.
Exactly. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because after you have that multiple years of track record, then most business, most conventional loans will actually kick in.
Yes, they want multiple years of track record, but they won't provide funding to make that track record.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a catch-22.
Yes. Let's talk about the farms that you work with. If there was like a magic reset button, what systems would you like to see those farmers put into place sooner than later in their journey?
The one that I would say has been underinvested by many farms is e-commerce and direct-to-consumer sales. So I think a lot of people get overwhelmed with setting up a website. It's hard for any business, let alone a farmer who's busy. And then they think of e-commerce as, oh my God, I have to deal with shipping and logistics and deliveries. Our first thing is just sell one product on your website for on-farm pickup. Mm. And farmers do that. And then all of a sudden they have tons of sales that they can prepack and they don't even have to bring it anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's finding, you know, what's the good margin sale? Direct to consumer is always the best margin. And how do you do it without the extra effort? And then if you want, you can do local drop-offs or deliveries or shipping, but it's just start simple. And before COVID, a lot of the farms understood and, you know, okay, that's important, but they were busy. Since COVID, every farm comes to us and now says, I need a bit more efficient system for direct to consumer. Fisheye Farms, which is an urban farm in Detroit, one of the first we funded, they're a great example of that. They were local farmers markets, some restaurants, kind of a farm stand that people would stop by here and there. We moved them to an e-commerce platform that we set up, and now it's all direct-to-consumer, pre-ordered online, picked up at the farm, did $20,000 of sales in the first day that they set it up from a local 2-acre produce stand. So the demand was enormous, and for them, you know, now they're Their time is saved. They've saved 10, 20 hours a week of not having to run around and manage orders. And once they go there, then, you know, then that becomes the anchor to them. And that was a website we set up for them in, you know, 2 weeks and an hour's of time. And so the return on investment is huge. So I think e-commerce is where I've seen, you know, what I think is the biggest fundamental shift for the business that oftentimes is not invested in.
Yeah, I know one of my friends in Tennessee did $70,000 in the last 6 weeks through an online store. And then another one started aggregating and they did $500,000 in April.
Wow.
So yeah, it's the online is, I think it's such a key aspect and I'm glad you brought that up. With that, I'd like to stop here and take a quick break. In a minute, we'll be back with Dan Miller from Steward.
If you've been enjoying this episode so far, you're going to want to head over to growingfarmers.com/free resources and download our free resource bundle to help you shave hours off your week and become a thriving farmer. It includes resources such as our 10 winter growing secrets we wish we knew when we started, which is a ebook which talks about the tips and techniques to get better growth in your winter production. We teach things like the simple but counterintuitive principle that trips up most beginning growers, the shape and size of tunnels that are best for winter production, how to prepare beds so they are weed-free and get beautiful lush stands of crops, what to do about pests like aphids, voles, and slugs, how to fast-track your research to fine-tune your production for your microclimate, and how to pack in more crops for higher yields and profits. So head over to growingfarmers.com/free resources and download your free resource bundle today.
So we are back with Dan Miller from Steward. Dan, talk to us about your team, because obviously this is a newer company and you have built a great team in that. What strategies have you implemented to bring the right kind of team members on?
So I began working on Steward 4.5 years ago. So you know, every year we've been adding more people and building more capacity at the team. It's a broad team. You know, we touch upon a lot of elements. We have the farming and agriculture element. We have the technology element. We have a lot of legal and regulatory work related to financing. We have marketing. So we have a lot of these different pieces that come together. Technology is a core part of our system. So we have a lead engineer who builds the technology. He's been with us for 2 years. The core system of tweaks and improvements that are made every day, normally based upon user feedback, he leads that work. Our agriculture team has been an important one to build. That's led by Aaron Newton, who I mentioned in North Carolina. And he has a network of experienced farmers that he relies upon to diligence farms in different areas of the country and make those connections. That was important for me. I'm not a farmer myself. I would like to be soon. We'll see where it ends up. But I grew up in Washington, D.C. My mother's family has been farming for generations. So I had ties to it, but I didn't have the experience myself. I'm learning a lot and I've been learning a lot, but having a multi-decade experienced farmer to work with the farmers, to speak with the farmers, to bring resources to them has been very important. I think a big differentiator for us too, that they're speaking with real farmers, not like kind of classic bank officers and other people that I would say don't always understand the farmers very well. Marketing has been a big element that we've brought on. Our head of marketing joined over the past year and took over the role a few months ago. We're marketing investments ourselves in a platform. We're marketing to farmers for funding. We're helping farmers with their marketing kind of across the whole board. The goal with Steward is to remove the intermediaries, allow people to make direct investments in these farms, and then have direct purchases of the products the farms make. And so in that, as I mentioned before, with e-commerce and direct sales and all of those tools is building those systems for it and efficiently doing it. So, you know, marketing is important across the board. Legal has been another important element. We make it simple for a farmer, but we're actually using complex, you know, rules and regulations around fundraising to make sure it's compliant and they don't even have to think about it. And so our head of legal leads that effort of how do we streamline the process that, you know, a farmer who has limited time and limited understanding of complex laws, but make it presentable. And so the recent product we launched of that network fundraising tool where farmers can use the software to raise from their network. That's, you know, using regulatory rules that have just been put in place from the SEC, but done in a way where the farmer, you know, checks the boxes, fills in the info that's needed, all the legal documents are generated, and then they can go. So it's the integration of all those pieces that I think make Steward special of, you know, the agriculture, the technology, the finance, the legal, all under one house. Mm-hmm. And that's how we've started to broaden our support of farmers. Our team is also remote. So we're based all around the country and world too, mainly in the US, but we have team members in Portland, Oregon, in New York, in LA, in South Dakota, in North Carolina. I'm a huge fan of remote work. Obviously now with COVID, there's been more focus on it than ever, but we've been doing it from the start. And for us, it lets us hire a really broad pool of talent. You know, there's people from all around across the country that we can speak with and bring on as appropriate, and keep people in the communities that are connected to these farms. I'm a believer in having our staff be in places these farmers are versus just in major cities. Farms themselves obviously are limited in their capacity for the remote work for the people actually working on the farm. But I find a lot of the support services that we're delivering, bookkeeping, legal support, grant writing, are done with a remote team we have or experienced freelancers outside of that. So I think there's a big capacity to bring remote work and expertise to these farms to run the back end elements and help support them so that they can focus on the ground work.
Very cool. What would you say the biggest mistake that you see beginning farmers make is?
I think overinvestment is the biggest one for me. Generally, starting small, starting simple, building up your capacity, building up your markets, understanding what's working, not getting your team going. You know, once you have everything humming, scaling up is definitely important. But I think oftentimes I see farms try to take on too much land up front, try to plant too much up front, try to set up too much infrastructure in the beginning. So I always think those first few years, you know, figure out what is appropriate for the land, figure out what the market wants in terms of your products. And then when you're really ready to grow that, take on capital. So, you know, some farmers have the experience, they think they can do that, but I find starting small is always better. Even if it looks like you need more land to make the numbers work, if you really figure out at a smaller unit how it's working, it's easier to go from there.
Well, I mean, you can pack so much in on an acre, and I think that's half the thing is people just don't realize that you can do $10,000, $50,000, even $100,000 an acre. Actually, I have farmers doing over $200,000 an acre if you have the right tools and techniques and systems in place.
Yep. And that's what we've seen. Don't buy a really expensive greenhouse system. Just get a hoop house, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just do the simple, small investment. Our farms in Detroit that we're support are getting around $100,000 an acre of revenue, which is just off the charts. But they're growing great product efficiently on the land, selling it direct and recycling that. So that's the type of agriculture that makes sense to me. And I think don't focus on volume, focus on margin. Mm-hmm. And that I haven't really seen the economics work well for farmers when they're selling through intermediaries. And so instead of being a volume producer where they have to move a lot of product and do it wholesale, if they focus on more, you know, better margins with direct sales, they don't have to worry about having so much. They can make more in each product.
Yeah. Well, especially during this whole COVID is that you saw some of these farmers that only sold to restaurants and chefs just completely lose that. And so they had to pivot incredibly rapidly back to retail.
Yep. We're seeing that a lot. We have a lot of new applicants coming in that had that issue. They need some working capital to float the difference and then retool their new sales channel. And that's another thing we advise. Never have more than a third of your revenue from one customer and one revenue stream. And I think a lot of customers, you know, they get used to one buyer taking most of it, but anything can happen to anybody. COVID obviously being a particularly unique case of taking whole industries and putting them to almost no purchasing. But it's what we've come back with direct to consumer to build a resilient food system. You want to support and sell that as locally as possible and build those connections with your customers. And that's become the most resilient sales channel. And and it's helped accelerate the farm we support. So we're supporting, you know, the kind of small end of sustainable agriculture. And that's where the most opportunity is right now, whereas conventional ag is definitely struggling. And then a lot of the large organic producers similarly, because they're reliant on supply chains and maybe labor and so many other variables in their business, where the smaller scale diversified sustainable farm is, you know, reliant on very few other than the sun and customers showing up.
Is there anything that new farmers should avoid their first year?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess it relates to taking on too much financing, but normally financing's not, you know, it's not that there's so much availability of it. So it's hard anyway.
Yeah.
Often using credit cards, you know, is how they get started.
Yeah.
So, I would generally say is, you know, not a lot of people, but we definitely see people come in and try to start a farm from scratch without farm background. I always definitely think they should work on a farm for a few years prior, even if maybe that slows down their pace. So it depends on you know, people's background, but
yeah,
we do see that often where it's just easier to get started elsewhere and really learn and then start your own operation when you feel comfortable.
Yeah, learn on someone else's dime.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So a couple questions here to wrap this up. Do you believe that now is the best time to be starting a farm?
Absolutely. I see more opportunity than ever. It's showing up in the numbers that we finally have an increase in the number of small farms in the U.S. I think it's mm-hmm. been going down since 1935, since we industrialized ag. So it's shifting to individuals, and there's more demand than ever for sustainable farm products. So I find if farmers are going into it and they're focusing on taking care of the land and growing really high quality products and selling those direct to end users, there's great opportunity for them. Mm-hmm. And there's more ways to market yourself as an operation and get visibility and run efficiently. So I'm at the end of the market where I'm seeing more opportunity than ever. I know the headlines are often that ag is struggling and farms mm-hmm. are closing down and there's an oversupply, but that's generally in the commodity world. And the second you step out of that and you go to focusing on local production of local products and small, you know, limited overhead and direct sales, I think there's more opportunity than ever. And the farmers that we work with, they're committed to the land. They're committed to the work. This is the work they're uh-huh. going to do. So it's a calling. It's an obsession. You may as well get them the right resources to do it well. You know, they're out there regardless. And the last point to that, about half the farms we support are not from farm backgrounds. Which is definitely unique in the history to have, you know, non-farmers going into farming, but we've displaced so much of so many farmers in the country. I think the stats in 1890s, about half of the population in the U.S. was in agriculture. Now it's 2%. Yeah. So, you know, millions, tens of millions of people that used to be in ag that aren't in it, and that's going to have to shift back. So you're going to need non-farmers to also mm-hmm. step in to help make up the difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One final question. What do you recommend for those first couple years when they're starting out for getting some funding? I know you said you don't usually work with them because they're still figuring out those initial steps.
So yeah, there's two ways. So traditionally we wanted to make loans to farmers who at least have a few years experience.
Yeah.
But we've recently rolled out that network fundraising tool that's been used in that case often, so they can tap their kind of friends and family network, their personal relationships to get the $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 to get started. So our goal at Steward is to accelerate regenerative agriculture. That means bringing more farms into it. That means anyone who applies, we review, we support, we'll try to provide resources to them directly or indirectly. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely say, you know, keep it small, keep it simple. But instead of using credit cards, they can use our tool from their network. I would also say to reach out to farming incubators. We often make those connections. The head of our farm Steward team ran farm incubator for a decade. And often there's a nice middle ground of starting your own operation on land that's either subsidized or that has graduated payments as they train and educate you. But you still have your own brand. You're starting to build your own, you know, customer base. And then when you jump to your own property, you have that infrastructure in place. So for me, it's all about validating, you know, that you care about growing, that you have products people want. And from there, it can scale. But I would welcome definitely anybody who is interested in farming and thinking about going that path to still come to our website and we'll get them in the right place.
Where can people find out more about you and your work?
If they go to gosteward.com, gosteward.com, they can apply as a farm. They can ask us questions. They can look at investments. Anything related to that work, we will be there and available.
Very cool. Well, Dan, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. And love the work that you're doing because, as I was farming, that was one of the things that I struggled with was getting after those first couple years of just taking the farm to the next level. And this would have been an incredible resource if it had been available at that time. So thanks again for what you're doing. And thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, farmers. So next week on the Thriving Farmer podcast, we will be joined by Carrie Klebanowski. And Carrie is from the Looney Farm outside, about 45 minutes outside of Oklahoma City metro area. And they farm on about a half acre of high intensity mixed vegetables. So we talk everything from team, building a team. Carrie's got actually kind of a large team for the size of her farm, and she loves it. So we talk about the reasons and how she has that set up. She talks about equipment, getting set up as a, let's say this is her second career. So talking about joining, you know, let's say in the middle of life, joining a, you know, starting a farm property and a farm business. So all sorts of great takeaways. Can't wait for to share that with you next week. So there you have it. Another episode in the books. So I'd love if you would hop on over to iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. Those mean everything to us. We love to hear what you're thinking. If you have a podcast guest that you can recommend, please pop on over to the Thriving Farmer Podcast website and leave us a review. That's thrivingfarmerpodcast.com.